Ephesians chapter number 3, one of my most favorite portions of Scripture. Now, I want to say this. I've never preached the same message twice that I know of, service back to back. But for the next few weeks, you're going to hear a lot out of Ephesians chapter number 3. And I want you to bear with us tonight. I'm going to preach on these thoughts, but tonight we're going to focus on the first one. He has, he's able, he can, and he will. Now, I want you to pay attention. He has, he's able, he can, and he will. Who can do all those things? Jesus and God. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Ephesians chapter number 3. If you're physically able, Ephesians chapter number 3. Look with us in verse number 14. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And I'll say this to you tonight, chapter 3 is one of the most interesting chapters out of the book of Ephesians. But look in verse number 14. The Bible says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now I want to say this to you tonight. We could preach out of verse 14 and verse 15 because through Jesus Christ is our only hope of heaven, and that's the most important family we could ever be in. Look in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. With a title tonight, he has, he's able, he can, and he will. As we came into church tonight, I could not help but think there are some of you that have seen some great things in your life. Some of you have got things in your testimony tonight that I cannot begin to comprehend. Some of you have faced some adversaries and some uncertain days in your life, and you're here tonight simply by the hand of God. And I'll say this to you tonight. My heart goes out tonight to the homeless, and it has all week tonight, because I'll say this, there are so many of our veterans and so many of our good men and women that bad times has set on them, and people has given up hope, that are suffering in this world tonight. And I say to you tonight, I am blessed beyond measure. And I'm blessed tonight to be in a place where God loves me, and to know that God's love is real, and to know that I have a home to go to, Brother David, that is warm, that's 69 degrees, and it's comfortable to be in there tonight. I can say this, that God has blessed me. And I believe you tonight would agree with me that God has blessed you. And I'll say this to you tonight, he has blessed every one of us. We are blessed tonight. I'll say it this far. We are so blessed tonight, Brother Paul, that we have got to a place. We are spoiled. Listen to me. We are spoiled because God is so good to us. And I'll say this to you tonight. I'm glad that he's met my need of every hour, and I'm thankful tonight. But I'll say this to you tonight. Some of you have seen God do great things in your life. Some of you have faced cancer. Some of you have faced wrecked marriages. Some of you have faced things that, Brother Odin, that I cannot comprehend in the pulls of this world. And you have overcame that, not through yourself, but because God has overcome it through you. And I'm thankful tonight for that. And when I begin to think of that phrase, he has. And I say something to you tonight, what has God done for you? And boy, I tell you tonight, the list would be long. And I say this to you tonight, and let me say this first. God has saved sinners. You know how I know that? I'm here. And I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. But tonight I want you to look at four different things, and we're going to try to help you tonight as we go through this. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight, if all God had done for us was saved us, that would be worthy for us to bow our knee.
But I say this to you, it ought not be under special circumstances. It ought not be because somebody tells us to. It ought not be because somebody implies that we should. But when it comes to reverencing God, we as a people ought to take a bow and to get on our knees before a holy God. I tell you something that amazes me is I've seen it. I preached in a revival this fall over at Little Elkin Baptist Church. And Brother Odin, the first night it was real cold. And I'm not talking about outside. I'm talking about inside. Some of you were there with us, Brother Paul. It was kind of spiritually cold in there. And they didn't know me and I didn't know them. They didn't know what they were getting. I didn't have a clue what I was giving. But I say this, Brother Melvin, there was an old man in his 90s named by the name of Harold Reynolds that got in that altar and got on his knees. And boy, that last night, he said, preacher, he said, there was a time that when God moved in, and the only thing I could do, he said, some folks has run and some folks has shouted. He said, but preacher, the only thing I could do was get on my knees and say, oh God, you've been good to us, and God, you've blessed us, and God, you've helped us. And he said, preacher, for a solid hour, all I could do was crawl around on my knees because he's a holy God. I'll say this to you tonight. We live in a country of folks that take kneeling to the extreme. Boy, I say this, kneeling ought to be a form of reverence. And when we think of kneeling, we ought to kneel in reverence of the one who is above us. And Paul says, for this cause, he says, I bow my knees. And why was he saying this cause? He was interested in the church of Ephesus. He was wanting God to bless them. He was wanting them to have a testimony that beat everything you've ever seen. He said he prayed and he asked that he would grant according to his riches of glory. Did you notice he didn't say the riches of this world? Amen. But when we think of riches, we think automatically of a bank account. But can I say this to you tonight? God is not bound by the currency of the U.S. dollar. God is not bound by the currency of Japan or China or Mexico or anywhere else. His riches are not contained in this world. And I'll say this to you, I don't care who the richest man is, but he'll not compare to the wealth of God of heaven. He'll not compare to the wealth of Jesus the Son. He'll not compare to the wealth, listen to me, of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, he'll not compare to the wealth of those who have been born again, who are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, who have been adopted into the family of God through him. Listen to me, he has blessed us according to his riches. And I say to you tonight, we're everyone blessed. But what has he done? I'll say this to you. Go with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew tonight. Gospel of Matthew tonight. Chapter number 27. We're going to go through this quickly. Matthew chapter number 27. I'm going to give you some things that he has done. Number one tonight, he has taken our place. You say, preacher, how has he taken our place? And I'll say this to you tonight, that in John chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there. We're going to Matthew chapter number 27. But in John chapter number 1, he became flesh and dwelt among us. Can I say, I want to say this to you before we go any further. I want you to get an understanding tonight of who God is. Listen, I know the world downplays who God is. But I'll say this to you tonight. He is the God that framed the worlds into existence. Amen. He is the God that hung the stars for us to view and the beauty that we see. He is the God that spoke light in the midst of darkness. He is the God that hung a lesser light at night of a reflection of the greater light. He is the God who formed dust or took dust from the earth and formed man and breathed in him the breath of life through his nostrils and gave him a living soul. He is the God, listen to me, that has reigned for all these many years and will reign forever. He is the God that is the author of the book that's laying in your hands or on your leg. He is the God, listen, of our great hope and our King. He is our God that we serve. And I'll say this to you tonight. This world downplays who he is, but he is everything. He is the whole being of our existence. He is our hope. He is our future. And I'll say this to you tonight. It bothers me when people take his name in vain, because without him, we're nothing tonight. And I'll say this to you tonight. If you look with me in Matthew chapter number 27, I'm going to give you some things that he's done. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Can I say to you tonight, he has taken our place. You and I deserve, listen to me, you and I deserve to be crucified. According to the atonement of sin, you and I deserve it more than Christ ever deserved it himself. And I'll say this to you, that'll teach how good of our judgment we have when we'll hang a sinless, perfect being on a cross just because they don't meet our standards. Now you say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Simply what I'm saying by that tonight is, Brother O'Dean, is they placed Jesus on a cross because they found guilt in their own life, and to make them feel better, if they could get rid of him, they wouldn't have to worry about who they was. And I'll say this to you tonight, it should have been you and I that was beat, and it should have been you and I who was spit, and it should have been you and I who the crown of thorns was placed upon. It should have been you and I, but he has taken our place. Number two tonight, he has tasted death for all men. Matthew chapter 27, look with me in verse number 45. The Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." I want to say this, and I can't help but think this, and tonight you can stone me after church if you want to, but Dad, I don't believe he would have gave up the ghost until he said, "It's finished." I believe, listen to me, and I'm going to say this to you tonight, he shed his blood for you and I. And I truly believe tonight, Brother Rusty, I can't help but think about this, but I cannot help but think, even with every bit of blood out of his body, he still had power to live and could still be hanging on that cross, beaten and bruised and hanging there naked until Jesus decided it was finished. Hey, listen to me. He would still be there. At the moment he cried with a louder voice, he yielded up the ghost, which means he gave it up. They didn't take it from him. Now I'll say this to you. They did not kill our Savior. He gave his life for it. How do you know that? The Bible says he yielded up the ghost. Simply meaning, Brother O'Dean, he gave it up. It had went as far as it needed to go, and he commended his spirit into the Father's hands. According to the other Gospels, I still believe, listen to me, he is as much God that was in flesh as God that's sitting on the throne, as God the Spirit. I'm telling you tonight, we serve a God that has came for mankind, that took a place on Calvary for you and I, and he has tasted death that you and I would have to taste it. Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And what he means by that, he means that we have overcome death. Now I'll say this to you tonight. I don't understand what death is like. If somebody asked you tonight, what's it like to die? How could you respond? Couldn't. Never felt it before. Brother O'Dean, I couldn't tell you if it hurts. I couldn't tell you what it feels like. I couldn't tell you if it's like going to sleep. But what I can tell you is I have seen those who are saved by God's grace leave this world, and they've left it in peace. There's not been a fight. I have heard and I have seen it, and there has been witness accounts of those who are saved that see something on the other side, that is seeing something by the hand of God that fills His creation and fills His power. And Brother Odine, there is something about a child of God going home that brings comfort, that He has conquered it. Listen to me. I believe tonight when you die here, He carries you over there. I can't help but feel that tonight. He's tasted death for all men. Matthew chapter number 28, go with us there tonight in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen and said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." Can I say to you tonight, He's not only taken our place, not only has He tasted death, but I'll say this to you tonight, He rose from the dead. Listen to me. If He had never rose from the dead, our religion and our thought and our preaching would be in vain. If He had never rose from the dead, Brother Melvin, we would have no purpose, listen to me, gathering here in this church tonight. We'd have no purpose, Dad, to preach to the lost. We'd have no purpose, Brother David, to pass out tracts. We'd have no purpose to do any of the things we do if He had never rose from the dead. But I'm glad tonight He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because I couldn't do it. Listen to me. Brother David, I couldn't do it. Listen, Brother Odine, I couldn't taste death for all men. Listen to me, I cannot take one's place in here tonight and make an atonement for your sins. I can't do that. But I'm glad He has. Number 4, and I'm done. Not only has He taken our place as a sinner, and He's tasted death for all men, He has risen from the dead, but I'm glad He didn't stop there. I'm glad He's ascended. I want you to notice with me in Acts chapter number 1 tonight. We'll be done. Acts chapter number 1 tonight. I want you to look with me in verse number 6. The Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Preacher, what does that mean? He has tasted death. He has taken our place. He has rose from the dead. And He's ascended to the Father. I'm glad to tell you tonight, listen to me, they couldn't keep Him if they wanted to. They couldn't hold Him down. Listen, Pilate, Herod, and all the Roman soldiers could not do anything with Him. And I'll say this to you now, I'm thankful He has ascended on high. In Romans 8 and verse 34 it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You say, "Preacher, what's that mean?" I'm glad He has made intercession. Now, I don't know if you've caught any of this that we said, but He has is past tense. I want to ask you something tonight. Has He done anything for you in your past? You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" The 4 points I preach tonight, if you're here born again, we have in common one with another. You have to accept and believe in all four events that I've given you to be born again. You have to confess that you're a sinner. But I can tell you tonight, not only is that, He has kept me the whole way. He has never forsook me. Hey, listen to me. He's never let me go without. And I promise you this tonight, He's a God that's always near. In the midst of my troubles, Brother David, He has always been there. Hey, listen to me. When the bank account didn't know, Brother Rusty, what I was going to do, He has made a way when I couldn't see a way. He is the same Jesus. And He has stepped out so many times when the storm was raging and said, "Peace, be still." And even the winds and the seas still obey His voice. And I'll say this to you now, He has blessed me beyond measure. And I have my own story of what He has done in my life. As heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.